or rather aspects of transcendental service. This is number 47, and it will go up to 53. And tomorrow, 54 through 64. Tomorrow is Saturday. We may have a class this Sunday, we'll see. Because we want to finish up to 14, and then we'll have a test on this second part on Vaidisadhana Bhakti, and then we'll move on. So either tomorrow or the next day, I'll tell you something about the test, but it'll be right after we complete chapter 14. I'll have the test. How are you feeling, Michael? Not so good. What's wrong? What's wrong? Die. That was wonderful. Yeah, the weather got hot again, didn't it? Okay, the first item, number 47, is servitorship. Now, there are two different elements of servitorship. The first, and this is really parallel to what you learn in the third chapter, fifth chapter, etc., of the Bhagavad Gita. And actually, you've probably gone over it already in the second chapter. That a distinction is made between yat karosi rajnasi, yat duhosi dadati yat, tat tapasyasi kanteya, tat kurusvam anarpanam. What chapter is that from, that verse?
927.
Okay. That means, what does that mean? Yeah, go ahead, just say it like that. Whatever you like to do, austerities, charity, tatkarusvam, marakunam, you should do as an offering to me, Krishna says. Whatever you like to do, charity, austerity, all these different things, work, you should do it, what you like, and then you should offer it to me. This we will call, or usually in the Bhagavad Gita classes, we call this Nishkam Karma Yoga. Have you learned that term yet? It means that one is working and he has no attachment to the fruit of his work. He's doing his duty as he is obliged or as he desires. But the fruit of the work he is unattached to. He's attached to the work, a specific work, doing a particular type of thing, but the results of that he is not interested in. He can either do that in a completely detached fashion, and it is nishkam karma, or he can do it in a detached fashion from the fruit, but attached to Krishna. And then it is more transcendental, it is Krishna conscious. So that is yat karosi rajnasi, yat duhosi dadatiya. Now the verse prior to that, 926, is something that sounds even simpler, but it's more advanced, and it is more transcendental, and it is actually bhakti. And that is patram, pushpam, palam toyam, yomam bhakti pati. Taraham bhakti paritam, asnami paratatmana. Krishna says that just do what I want. Just offer me what I want. A leaf, a fruit, flower, or water. Notice the difference. One is what we are doing, what we want, and giving the fruit to Krishna. And the other is we do what Krishna wants. And we do the work for as Krishna wants. And we also, in addition, obviously, give the fruit to Krishna. Nishkam karma is in the mode of goodness, and the second is much, it is transcendental. Sometimes the acharyas will say that this nishkam karma is not, when it is offered to Krishna, is not devotional service. But actually, because and their reasoning is that you haven't completely surrendered to the Lord yet, and devotional service begins by complete surrender to the Lord. Sarvadamam kutyaja, mamekam sharanam vrija. But the other acharyas have, some acharyas have, to show us the difference between the two, they have made a strong division. But other acharyas, to show us how the one leads to the other, that if one offers Krishna the fruit of one's work, one works according to the way he likes and offers the fruit of that work to Krishna fully, because that will lead, that is so purifying, and it leads to bhakti, is therefore also considered bhakti. But these two divisions are there. So this is basically what's being discussed in the explanation of servitorship over here. So both of these, servitorship, both those different elements are considered bhakti, whether one is doing one's prescribed duties in vanashrama and offering the fruit to Krishna, or one is completely surrendered and doing exactly what Krishna wants. They are both considered bhakti. The one leads to the second. Prabhupada explains the point here. When household devotees perform some ritualistic duty, they do so to satisfy Krishna. Oh, here. When devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas, or pure devotees. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual life are not actually pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the results to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. This is the basic point. Any questions about this point? Yeah. Well, if you don't have that feeling, how can you do any service? How can you give Krishna anything then? Then you're in a difficult situation. And sometimes, this is in, sometimes in our temples, this feeling is taken away from us, that you're completely surrendered, so therefore you can't do anything for Krishna other than what you're told to do. And that, it doesn't do one's spirit very much good. No. That's the wrong explanation. Incorrect. The first, in the opinion of karmis, fruitive workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava charities like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. So, again, here is the division. If you work and you offer the result of the work to Krishna, some people say that is dasyam, or being a devotee or being a servant of Krishna. Again, we're talking here of this as an anga or a limb of sadhana bhakti. So if you work, do karma, perform the Vedic injunctions, and then give Krishna the fruit of your work, is that an anga, or a part of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or not? That is the question. But according to Vaishnava charges, like Rupa Goswami, servitorship or dasya means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. So when the engagement is controlled by the Lord, or one that means the surrender is prior to the work, not after the work. You following? So this is the same distinction we're talking about. Now Rupa Goswami, as Prabhupada said, over here, is taking the line that no, that is not actually bhakti, that first one. When you're offering, you're working as you want, and then giving the fruit to Krishna, that's not actually bhakti. Sometimes the acharyas take that position to show the quality of what bhakti actually is, and how you have to be fully surrendered. Not that you do what you want. Sometimes we get very attached to doing what we want for Krishna. One time, Trivikram Swami came to Prabhupada in the morning, and Prabhupada told him to preach in Japan. And then, this was in Mayapur, and then the GBC of Japan came and talked to Prabhupada, and when he found out that Prabhupada told him that, he was upset because he didn't feel he could work with Trivikram Swami. So he pressured Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, alright, I'll call Trivikram Swami, I won't tell him to work in Japan anymore. So he sent a messenger, and Trivikram Swami came in the afternoon, and Prabhupada said, I don't want you to work in Japan, I want you to work in Korea, preach in Korea. And Trivikram Swami, since Prabhupada in the morning had told him to serve in Japan, he had went, he bought his ticket, he did this, he did that. So he said to Prabhupada, but in the morning you just told me to go to Japan and preach. And Prabhupada said, yes, now I'm telling you to go to Korea and preach. So if we become attached just to the work, and that work we become more attached than the actual service of Krishna, that is not as high a standard as, but because it will lead one to more purity, it is still considered bhakti. Even Rupa Goswami here is saying it's not dasyam. But this is a little different explanation. It's not pure because there's material attachment in it, and bhakti is only pure. Any other questions? So we should begin to understand what what bhakti is very, very high. It's not, oh, I've been a devotee for 10 years now, 7 years now. Bhakti is very, very, very rare. It's wonderful. It's not cheap. So actually, when we surrender first, and then work, that is actually dasyam sadhyam, sadhana, dasyam sadhana, as described here. That's what Rupa Goswami is saying. But the other, if we started preaching strongly that, you know, unless you're completely surrendered, it is not sadhana bhakti or anything like that, first of all, we wouldn't have any congregation, right? Because they're not surrendered, and it would be very discouraging to them. And we see that if people do what they want for Krishna, gradually they come to the point, there's such a taste in that, they want to surrender more. And then gradually there wouldn't be anyone left practically in the temples. If we work, and this is actually described in the 5th chapter, if we work as we want, because it is, and then give Krishna the fruit, the result of that is knowledge. A gradual process, not exactly bhakti. Question? Just a question.
You mentioned the last sentence of this paragraph, all these chapters, stated that even if one desire to be engaged in service, we should be considered or liberated.
Wait. The last of the...
This
oh, the last paragraph.
Last sentence. Could you describe this level? Because someone can say that I desire
and
the service and not the
end of
service.
Say that again?
One can quote this and say that this is enough only desire.
Yeah, no problem. So if one wants to be like that, what will you do with such a person? It's the same. That same person has $10 million in his bank account and says Krishna only wants a leaf of flour or water. One, two, singular. Same person who says that also. I don't have to do any service. I just have to desire. So if someone is insincere, what to do? This means that if one is thinking, I am Krishna's, I belong to him, I am his servant, fully with his heart, please, you take me, even though I'm in a circumstance now, I cannot do anything, but I know, like Das Goswami, who is Das Goswami? Raghunath Das Goswami. When he was living at home, he was acting as a pound shilling pence man on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was acting in a detached fashion, right? He was actually only doing that like an actor plays a part in the drama, right? So was he actually liberated at that time? Of course. Because his heart had already been given to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if one has already given his heart, there's no problem giving everything else. Sometimes we externally give so many things, but inside we keep our heart for ourselves. You follow me? So this is referring to someone who has actually in fact given his heart. Then there's no problem about anything else. So the example that you gave is someone who hasn't given his heart, but saying I've given his heart. To avoid giving anything. He hasn't given his heart, and he doesn't want to give anything else either. So he makes up the story that he's given his heart. So what to do with a person like that? If he has a little sincerity in him, then Krishna will help him. If he has no sincerity in him, Krishna will let him go on thinking like that for 10,1,126,003,000,003 births. Thinking, yes, 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 I am already liberated, I am devotee, yes, yes, yes. Who cares? That saying that I mentioned before, that the laws of, you keep things locked, not to stop the thieves from stealing, but to keep the honest people honest. You cannot make a law, or write, have the scriptures, or do anything to help an insincere person. First he has to become sincere to be helped. So the only problem, therefore, is our insincerity. Clear? Next is devotional service in friendship. So this is not prema bhakti. Not referring to prema bhakti. There are five different sthaibhavs or perfected moods in devotional service. Neutrality, serviceship, friendship, parental and conjugal. Sakyam here does not refer to that type of friendship. It refers to something other than that. Because this is an anga or a part of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So it doesn't refer to that stage above Bhava Bhakti. Now, there are two bases, as Prabhupada explains here. There are two bases, or two categories, of this anga of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Prabhupada says, one is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. What Prabhupada means when he says the confidential servitor of the Lord, he doesn't mean the intimate. Usually we use the word confidential to mean intimate. Servitor of the Lord. But he doesn't mean that. He means that one has full confidence in the Lord. He is very, very faithful. That type of friendship with the Lord. And the example of that is Draupadi. And that's the quote that's given. My dear Govinda, Draupadi says, your promise is that your devotee can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement. And therefore, in all kinds of tribulations, I simply remember your promise and thus I live. The purport is that Draupadi and her five husbands, the Pandavas, were put into severe tribulation by their cousin brother, Duryodhana, as well as by others. The tribulations were so severe that even Bhishma Dev, who was both a lifelong brahmachari and a great warrior, would sometimes shed tears thinking of them. He was always surprised that although the Pandavas were so righteous and Draupadi was practically the goddess of fortune, and although Krishna was their friend, they had to undergo such severe tribulations. Though their tribulations were not ordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged. She knew that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. So that type of faith in Krishna is an anga of sadhana bhakti, knowing that Krishna will protect me. And that anga, as Prabhupada explains, it brings one to systematically follow the rules and regulations with faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. Because unless one has that type of faith, why will one follow? There are hundreds and thousands and billions of people in this world just doing whatever the heck they like. So why put oneself under the restrictions unless one has faith that by following these restrictions he will get this transcendental platform? So that type of faith and affection for Krishna, in that mood, knowing that Krishna is affectionate and will care for the devotees, unless one has that, how can one surrender? Unless one has that faith. So therefore, adoh shraddha, the first principle is faith. Unless one has that softness of friendship in relationship to Krishna. The second one is, the second one, as Prabhupada explains it, so the first is to act as have confidence in Krishna. And the second is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. Now what? How in the world to act as the well-wisher of the Lord? So there is one simple way and there is one exalted way. The exalted way we certainly shouldn't imitate. That is actually on the Raganuga platform, even though it is mentioned here as an anga by Rupa Goswami of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And that is a pure devotee lying down in the temple. This is the last part of this section. A pure devotee lying down in the temple in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Now, if we remember the definition of Raganuga Bhakti, is that it is impelled by one's spontaneous affection. In fact, when we were reading the offenses in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you have to remind me now. Take this. If we remember, in the offenses, there's one of the offenses is to lie down in the temple. Remember that one? To lie down in the temple is an offense. But here, when someone in the mood of Sakya sees the deity, he feels like a well-wisher of the deity and his mood is friendship. If he is on that exalted platform, if he's actually experiencing this, even though it is a sadhana, element of Vaidhi sadhana, you know, Rupa Goswami has included it here, that is not an offense if he's on that platform, if he truly has that mood. Rather, it will help him advance. Now, Prabhupada also gives one other point here. under the well-wishing of Krishna. He has included something very, very, very wonderful, is that preaching. And that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the verse? What is the first line? Where he says that anyone who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita is most dear to me. That means one is very confidential. And no one will be more dear, you know? Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu abhidasiti maim bhutim param budva mam evasyasya samsaya. That such a person, there will never be anyone more dear to me than him. And in the end, he will come back to Godhead. Without a doubt, nam eva asyasi asamsaya. Samsaya means without a doubt. So this is, and Prabhupada has included this in as one who is a friend practicing this anga of bhakti, of sakyam. Devotional service and friendship. Any questions about this? Yeah.
This first one, you asked this confidential service, you said that this means the temptation of Krishna, but that Krishna will partake. But this is also like Mango surrendering to the world.
And how can you do anything without faith? How could you surrender everything to? How could you surrender anything to the Lord? What does we give everything unless you have faith? Ashraddha. Adoshraddha, first there's faith, means that you can't do anything without faith. This is the beginning. But because it's the beginning, it doesn't mean that when you go on to step two, step two doesn't include step one. Any other points? Yes.
You mentioned that the 64 angas which we know about, which we see now, are only devices of the Rabbah, on the ball.
You'll see later on when he explains, when Rupa Goswami explains Raganugi, he says that the same items are there, but the mood is different.
So it's only.
These three over here, these first three are Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, and Avedanam. That sounds familiar? Where is it from? It's from the last three, the most difficult, the last three of the Angas mentioned of Nava Anga. Bhakti that Prahlad Maharaj mentions. So these three are here. This self-surrender is Atmanavedanam. A person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. How wonderful. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes refers to the spirit self, Well, soul and self is sometimes considered refer to the mind or the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he said, Manasa deho geho yo kichamor. Something feel to it. Or we need a Bengali for this one. Or pilu dua pade non lokiso. My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. This is the only way one can stay and be in household life and not be in Maya, practically speaking. Is that one has to think that this isn't my house, this is not my wife, this isn't anything mine. It all belongs to Krishna and we are servants in this house. We are the Lord's servants in the house. Everything is meant for His service. And then it is Atmanaveda. So nice. You are the supreme possessor of everything. You can do with them as you like. If you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. So this is in the next reference by Jamuna Charja. My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature, and I, who am in possession of these bodies and surrendering myself unto you, that means I'm giving you my false identification, whatever designation I have. I'm giving to you misconstrued identity. And this is very nice. I'll read the to the end. In the Hari Bhakti Vivek, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There the devotee says, my dear Lord, as a soul animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance. So because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance. In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Very exalted. So these three, this Dasyam especially, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam, these are all very advanced stages. They have parts. And the more exalted of those parts is very exalted. Here, this is what Rupa Goswami says. See, Rupa Goswami says that devotional service and friendship and devotional service and self-surrender are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotee are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord. Offering a favorite article. There are two different parts of this. One is you take something that is favorite to you, that you like very much, and you offer it to Krishna. And the other thing is to take something that Krishna likes very much, and you offer it to him. Both of them are angas of bhakti. What's something that Krishna likes that you could give him? Tulsi leaves. What's something else? Or how are you going to... That's what we're talking about, Baba. the way of giving, that's what he wants. What's the favorite article?
We don't know.
Butter, yes.
Water
and butter. And what else? Flowers and yogurt.
Cake.
That sounds more like what's giving what you like to Krishna, that one over there. Pizza, yeah. Ice cream, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Peacock feather.
Mukut.
And there's, Rupa Goswami has mentioned two things specifically, peacock feather and gunjamala. Gunjamala in Vrindavan is these little red seeds that are found with the black. Who has not seen gunjamala?
It's on the edges.
Look at. Huh? Yeah, this is how it's wrongly translated. So actually, gunjamala is not small conscious. It's these little beads that you find in Vrindavan. Red and black. And these seem to be. Huh? Black and white. Yeah. This is the season, by the way. Right after the rainy season, the peacocks start dropping their peacock feathers. I'll show you where to go find them. I'll tell you right now. You get them, you can get some from Krishna Balaram. But if everyone goes all at once, anyway, we'll see who finds them. If you walk down, go out the temple and go to the right. Way down to the right. You'll go. There are so many ashrams, and then there's a forest. And if you go there in the morning, maybe we'll go one day. You can see what Neil Gai do. The blue cows, which are like antelopes. Who has seen Neil Gai? When you were in the Gurukul, you used to go? And everywhere you see them. They're interesting animals. They have the body of a horse, the head of a deer, the tail of a cow, and they have like a beard like a goat. You've seen? Very nice. And they have a funny characteristic. They're very shy and very curious. So when you looking for them or something, they'll hear you coming and they'll run away. They'll start running away and then they'll turn around to stop and they'll see. They're funny animals. If you go, there's a forest. If you go right opposite on the left, there is called Moti Kutir. Sastasupu can take you. They used to call it Nilagai Forest and things like that. So just down the road to the right, where there's a big forest, it's easy to find, and just wander in there, thinking Krishna, Krishna, He Radhe Brajadevaki Shalalite, He Nandashilokita. And you'll see many peacock feathers this time of the year, or maybe, yeah, just about now. Who offered, made their offerings to Anjanmastami, to the deities? Mentally, who remembered to do that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, many devotees. Nice. Did you enjoy?
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Who these things which you are speaking now? Even the surrender, everything to the Lord. It's still within the category of spice.
Even though that is also an element of Raganuga Bhakti, that friendship. And, okay, performing all endeavors for Krishna. That one is clear. Being a surrendered soul. Surrender means two things here, as Prabhupada explains. That you think only of Krishna as your protector. Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. For one who Krishna wants to kill, no one can protect him. And for one who Krishna wants to protect, no one can kill him. And taking complete shelter. Thinking of Krishna as your protector and taking complete shelter of him. This is the meaning of Sharanapati, or being a surrendered soul. Anyone who prays unto me and takes shelter up from me becomes my ward, and I protect him always from all sorts of calamities. So these are so wonderful. So when devotees do sankirtan, distribute books or preach in troubled areas of the world, I got a letter from Satchinandana Swami. He always amazes me what he's doing, because he's preaching in this Yugoslavia, where they're in Bosnia, where they're just killing each other incredibly. So for years he's been going there, and sometimes they throw tear gas into the assemblies, and this time they hired 10 people to kill him. Still, they didn't, by the way. They didn't succeed by Krishna's mercy. But just so incredible what the devotees do. So exalted. This spirit sometimes is lacking in ISKCON nowadays. Just go somewhere and do something on behalf of Krishna. If we hold back, keep everything for ourselves, we will not feel happy or satisfied, and nor will we feel the touch of Krishna's hand protecting us. That was the spirit of the early days of the movement. Why?
I didn't feel it as the right thing.
But the spirit was saying to go and completely depend on Krishna. That will be good. But the tendency is to just get trapped in a cozy situation and not want to surrender because it's inconvenient. Oh, you should do it. In the old days, when someone wanted to, say if someone was having a trouble getting along with the temple authorities or this or that, he was strong-headed. Oh, go and open up a temple somewhere. What's the problem? And that way, yeah, it was so simple in that sense. And that's how the movement grew. A lot of individual initiative was there. But now, someone's having trouble, so he stays around and then all day long, criticizing and everything. No, just go and open up a temple somewhere. So much nicer. The world is so big. So many places. There's only one lack in the world for the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to say. There's no lack of anything except Krishna consciousness. Go, send it somewhere, bring it somewhere. Take a risk for Krishna. You do it. Not right now. Just wait till class is over. But you'll have your chance if that's what you want. I'd be very happy to do that. I like that move. But, as you're pointing out, a lot of times because the devotees didn't know anything, they didn't do well when they got out. So it's nice to learn, but then go and do something. What would you like to offer? Prabhupada. Anyway, just decide and do it. Figure out how to do it. Not completely independent. Serving trees such as the Tulsi. And because you want to do something doesn't mean it's not surrendered. I was reading some letters Prabhupada sent me. When I had been chanting for less than a year, initiated for 6 months, and I had the desire to open up a temple in North Carolina in the United States. So I asked Prabhupada if I could do that, and he wrote back such encouraging letters. Yes, go and do it. We want to open as many temples as possible, go and do it. But because I didn't know very much, it wasn't so good. It didn't work out. But the spirit in the old days was like that. serving trees such as Tulsi. This is the last one. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Tulsi tree, which can immediately vanquish volumes of sinful activities. Simply by seeing or touching this tree, one can become relieved from all distresses and diseases. Simply by offering obeisances to and pouring water on the Tulsi tree, one can become free from the fear of being sent to the court of Yamaraj. If someone sows a Tulsi tree somewhere, certainly becomes devoted to Lord Krishna. When the Tulsi leaves are offered in devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna, there is full development of love of Godhead. Rupa Goswami says there is, you get mukti, but it is parama, special mukti, parama bhakti. You get the highest liberation. In the Skanda Purana, there's another statement about Tulsi as follows. Tulsi is all auspicious in all respects. So here are the 9 ways are listed of serving Tulsi. One after another, they're listed here. Simply by seeing, simply by touching, simply by remembering, simply by praying to, simply by bowing before, simply by hearing about, or simply by sawing this tree, there is always auspiciousness. Anyone who comes in touch with the Tulsi tree in the above-mentioned ways lives eternally in Vaikuntha world. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7. There's 2 more. I don't know where they are. One of them must be watering. Circumambulating. Okay. Tomorrow, further aspects of transcendental service. Any questions? Comments?
Seems to me that this one gives to us a solid aspect of Atma Nivedana. Is it correct to say that one is or
something? Seems to be a subtle difference. The words are different, that's one thing. Atma Nivedana is giving mind, body, soul, everything to Krishna. And this sharanam also means surrender, means taking shelter fully, for protection especially. That seems to be the difference. One is giving everything and the other is in the 6 angas, gotipte varanam tata atmanikhekta kapanui. Looking at Krishna as your only protector. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvasa. It's like that. Rakshishyatiti vishvasa. Having full faith. Vishvas means full faith that Krishna will protect me. That is the Sangha. Because, yeah, that is an element of surrender. Yes, this is actually the proper understanding. She's actually an eternal associate, but still this is given in, as an example of sadhana. She is not acting. She is not a sarita. She's an eternal associate. Correct. She's a prema bhakti. Bhakta, bhaktin, or whatever. Doesn't seem to be exactly what's implied here. Maybe it's something else with prayers and shelter. More like that, it seems. But you ever have a friend like that who's always like coming to you and telling all their problems?
Yes.
There has to be more to the relationship than that, too. Sometimes that kind of friendship. Yeah, we don't want to look at Krishna like that. Krishna consciousness is very exalted. It begins with surrender to Guru. And of course without faith one can't even get that far. Without surrender we cannot take... Without faith we cannot surrender. Without surrender... You cannot advance. Okay, we're actually going to end 2 minutes early instead of 5 minutes late. No, we're not. Yes, cool. Liberation isn't so hard. Bhakti, that's hard. So that point, that question came up 4 times already about, so there's one paragraph or so, Shastra Sutra asked that day. Other devotees have mentioned that. We'll discuss it fully when Prabhupada mentions it. It's to encourage us to some degree, but it has happened. It's not an exaggeration. They're not just exaggerations to encourage us. They're not just that, but they're also to encourage us. Because if we just hear how hard bhakti is all the time, then we'll give up. So sometimes we mention how hard bhakti is, just to put things in perspective so we keep our humility.
Now, actually, we're on the platform of Sarada Bhakti.
The type of deity worship we generally do is because it's rules. Krishna and Vrindavan has nothing to do with rules and regulations. You cannot get to Vrindavan even by the bhakti through fighting.
So in the deity worship we know. Okay, then after the deity worship, say we are reciting Tulsi prayers. And then, so we say Vishnu Bhakti Purite instead of Vishnu Bhakti Purite.
I think I still say Vishnu Bhakti, because that's how we learned it many, many, many years ago, but I think most devotees say Krishna Bhakti. I think it's better to say Krishna Bhakti.
Yeah. When I came here,
because he's doing what I do. I should change it, what I do. Huh? Why don't you just tell him for me? But his name is Brajabihari. So there is no question of him going to Vaikuntha. He's just doing that to set an example. Huh? That's a secret. But whatever you do, everyone will criticize you, so don't worry. About anything.
No,
I'm just teasing you. I'm not saying you're criticizing. I know you're not criticizing. Okay, guys.